Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we need to do some work for this planet. This planet is in bad shape. And it's time to do more. We're not doing enough. And to help us do more is the author of a wonderful book I just read called Earth Acupuncture. That sounds helpful. Healing the Living Landscape. And I guess living is the important word to it. We don't understand how much of it we haven't helped and have to come back to. So in order to do that, Earth Acupuncture is a great opportunity. And the author is actually an acupuncturist. So that really helps. And she's on the show. So I'm so happy to welcome Gail Reichstein Rex to Energy Stew. Gail, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. It's nice to be here.
I'm so glad that you could join us because you've done some really important work that might have actually, you might have already saved the lives of millions of people because of the location that you've done your earth acupuncture that the book is about, is right close to New York City.
It is.
And
it's about...
Yeah. It's a stone's throw.
Yeah, just up the Hudson at the Indian Point Nuclear Power Plant.
Yes, and that's why you might have saved millions of us, because this power plant is a sitting time bomb, and it's actually been exploding for a long time now, ever since it was born. It's been leaking, and now has some major leaks, and it also sits on earthquake faults. So it was really smart of them to build a power plant right on top of fault lines.
Yeah, they would not be allowed to do that today.
Right.
But the time that it was built, they might not even have known that it was on a fault, or else they just didn't worry about it.
Right. And even now, they don't worry about it. I guess they can't. It's almost too late to worry about it because if there's an earthquake, really, it's too late. And a lot depends on where the plumes from the nuclear explosion would head. And if, you know, they could go in all different directions. And no one is safe within a far distance in any direction. And so it was really important for you to do this work, because you understood through your acupuncture how to connect, how to understand the nature of the land around the power plant. And you noticed different similarities, for instance, between the river and the lung meridian. How's that?
Yeah, that was a surprise to me. I didn't expect it to be so direct. People talk about the land as a being or the earth as our mother, but it was a surprise to me to discover that, in fact, the land is a being and has a body, and that we can address that body with healing techniques that we use on our bodies. And
right.
Lo and behold, the land responds.
Well, you know, the reason you know that the land responds is special, because you were able to work directly through your own means and with experts, shamanic experts, and people who really can read nature and speak to the land. And you were speaking to the land, and it responded, and you saw the way it responded. And I think that's what we all need to learn about, and you talk about in your book, is how to connect with the land, with nature, so that it actually talks with us and we get direct responses.
Yes, and what I realized as I was doing this work is that while it might sound far-fetched initially, in fact, we communicate non-verbally with beings all the time. We just don't realize that it's special. If you've ever been around, if you've ever had an infant or an old person in a coma or even a horse or a dog, or we communicate with them all the time through our hearts. And we say, gee, I think the baby's hungry. Or, boy, my grandmother looks like she's in pain.
And yet this is also about nature and trees and all kinds of physical aspects of the land.
Yep, they speak that way too. We just have to make an effort to learn to read their signals.
Exactly.
It doesn't have a language, it doesn't have a face, but it makes noises when its branches and leaves whisper in the winds, and some people can hear what a tree is saying as it moves. Other people can look at the patterns in the bark or have intuitive conversations with the tree.
Right.
You just need to be open to listening and see what comes.
Right. And the feedback often is very real and expresses itself in ways that you talk about in the book, that all of a sudden something happens in nature, unexpected, that's a signal of a response.
Yes, and often one of the easily seen responses are animals that come through your field of vision if you're out in nature. You know, if a deer suddenly appears, or a cardinal flies into your visual field, or two squirrels get in a fight near you. But all of these things are significant, and there are really several good books around that can help interpret the different animals and what they mean. So those are very ready signs that most of us can notice and can find ways to interpret. And weather changes are also pretty significant. It's hard to not notice a peal of thunder or lightning strike or a sudden gust of wind.
And yet people think that it's just happenstance and means nothing. And yet Native Americans were extremely attuned to this, and that's how they survived and prospered. And we have lost that. So we can't imagine, most people can't imagine that there's a consciousness around us that embraces everything as one. And when we're plugged in and get into the rhythms of our questions or our understandings or ideas, that there is actually a community around us working with us.
There is, and it is exciting to discover it, and there, for people who want to discover it, there are really many beautiful ways. There are people teaching workshops. Joanna Macy has these lovely Council of All Beings workshops where people get together and embody the consciousness of some non-human being, and then they have conversations with each other. There are these books about interpreting animal signs. You can just go outside. The more time you spend outside, the more you can start to interact with the landscape around you. It's very hard to do from indoors. But, right.
And it's hard to do outdoors if you're not interested.
Yes. Interest is key.
Yes, once you open your mind.
Yes. But you don't really need special gifts. You just have to be open and paying attention.
Well, we all have special gifts, some in different ways, because as you talk about in the book, when you actually are in nature trying to sense it, see it, feel it, and you've done this with others, and you all come back with different stories of how you've sensed it and seen it and felt it. And so you can't always have agreement on your own experience, because and each own experience is valid because it's the way that you're designed to experience it.
Right, or the way that you can. That's the
exactly.
language or the dialect that your being can understand.
Right, and we all have different ways that we sense, and so it's important to honor that and not be discouraged because you saw something that somebody else didn't see.
Right, exactly. It's like being at the United Nations for an important presentation, and there's hundreds of languages going on there, and you might only understand one of them. It doesn't mean that the other ones are gibberish.
I know.
Or that yours is
sometimes
gibberish.
Sometimes it just feels that way. You say, how can they understand each other?
Yes, absolutely it feels that way.
Right.
It's
and yet in nature knows how to read itself all the time. And animals, you know, they're all, there's a lot of telepathy out there.
Yes, one, you know, particular plant knows when its neighbor down the row is being attacked by bacteria, and it will change its defenses.
There's an incredible network on this planet, and we're only learning about it now in terms of, for instance, fungus and how there are networks in the ground that pervade the planet and speak to each other even hundreds of miles away. And we disrupt that with our modern ways of constructing and even farming. We disrupt the land by plowing it. And it's amazing how we're learning how not to disrupt the land and still grow incredible crops.
Yes, it can be done.
And
we
so
just have to start paying attention.
Right, but it's about bringing it all together. You know, land can't operate without animals mixing it up with the land and how they all feed off of each other. And we haven't identified with that. There's so many ways that our modern society is just plain disruptive. And in the book, you talk about that you know we're actually our species is a cancer destroying the body that we depend on.
Yeah, sadly, we have been that way, mostly just for lack of a commitment to being other than that. If you know, once we decide as individuals and as a species that we actually want to contribute to the well-being of our planet, we would do things very differently.
Yes, and so this is a very inspiring book. I'm extremely inspired by it.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Sure. And it was really powerful that the job you took to do this earth acupuncture around Indian Point. You really got to know the land. There's a mountain there that's quite a majestic mountain, even though it might not be the Alps or Himalayas. But this is a mountain called Dunderberg. And you got to know it very well.
Yes, I did. And it took time. And it took a real effort on my part to make myself as an offering to the mountain, to say, I'm ready to listen.
And you also walked in, presenting offerings such as cornmeal and tobacco that you spread on the land. And it's interesting that I've interviewed a shamanic healer from Peru, from very high up in the Andes, and they always give thanks to Mother Earth by offering leaves that they drop on the ground.
Yeah, I think many indigenous people do that. It's just good manners. It's just respectful. When you go to someone's house for a dinner party, you bring something.
Right.
You don't empty-handed and expect to just eat your fill.
Right. So give nature its rewards, and it'll reward us. And so you had some amazing experiences, and it took a lot out of you. Also, you got quite ill.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. And that, too, I have come to see as part of the process. Perhaps I could have done it differently, but at the time I was doing it the way that I could see to go. And I began to see my illness. I got Lyme disease and was very ill for quite a time. But I saw that as a reflection of the illness in the landscape around me. And so I was no longer going to be able to just heal the land as if it were something separate from me. I had to be able to see that the landscape and I were one, that we are all one in this, and that healing begins inside each of us, and that there will be no healing outside until we can learn how to change our distorted view of who we are on this planet.
Right, and so you had to experience some distortion yourself and didn't realize when you got into this that you had to go that deep.
Nope, I sure didn't.
And so we're all on a path of healing, and we can support each other. You had some wonderful help on this project.
I did indeed. I was fortunate enough to get counsel and advice from some really wonderful healers of all stripes. One of my main teachers in this was Venerable Dahani Oahu, who is a Cherokee lineage carrier based up here in Vermont. And she's the one who originally gave me the idea that I could do acupuncture on the earth, and that it was just like a person. And then I had two really terrific land healers who helped me at sort of the crucial points in the project. Patrick McManaway, who is a geomancer and land healer who travels all over the world helping farmers and all kinds of people speak to their landscape around them. And also Ivan Macbeth, who is a druid and stone circle builder, who has built some enormous, beautiful stone circle all over the world. And really, I could not have done what I did without these people, because
right.
Each brought their expertise and their ideas, and we did it together.
Right.
We did it together. I was the vehicle that it came through for the most part, but it was a really lovely experience to be so deeply engaged with other people in this project.
Yes, and so it's been so inspiring for me that I've decided I want to start a planetary healing program. And,
great.
And put together perhaps a planetary healing council of people like you and some people you've worked with, maybe Joanna Macy, you know, bring people together who want to help and have them write some inspirational paragraphs that can go along with this program I want to distribute to the world to set up healings each week, like 3 or 4 times a week, to hopefully have 1 million people pray for our planet at specific moments and give them vehicles of prayer, ways to pray, and we can all pray together throughout each week, you know, different moments that we can just plug in and know that there'll be so many other people praying at that moment that'll add power to it.
That's a wonderful idea. Yeah, we create a web
right.
of prayer.
Exactly. And so I want to put together a program of it in a way that we can pray for specific locations, identify different healing needs of the planet at different specific spots, acupuncture points,
yeah.
that we can all focus on together.
What a great idea.
Thank you. Yeah, and so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And not a moment too soon.
Right. Well, you know, and same thing with what you've done up in the Indian Point area, because it's so necessary, especially with a power plant that's sitting on an earthquake fault, to make the land our friend.
Yeah. The land and the river. The river was really an enormous trend through this
yes.
for me. And
I live right on the river. I live on Riverside Drive.
Oh, you do.
In Manhattan, so I can see the river right now as we're speaking, and my mother grew up in Nyack, right
mm-hmm.
by the river, and so I feel it's part of my roots.
Yeah, it is. And it's a beautiful, for anyone who lives in Manhattan, it's, you don't even realize, it's the lifeblood that feeds the city in a lot of ways.
Yes. And so we want to feed it with the best energy. And so I was so happy that you chose that point to do your acupuncture. But in the book, you teach people how to explore nature in their own way to find their own acupuncture points to heal. And you
yeah.
build stone circles, you actually plant acupuncture needles into the
mm-hmm.
ground, and but you find the exact location for them. It's not like, okay, let's just stick in the land right here. It's very special. It's a ceremonial, but you use your intuition to find the exact place that's needed and the exact place to build the stone circle as well.
Yeah, and I feel like specificity helps. Well, at least
yeah.
an acupuncturist really helps. But I think I do it that way because I am an acupuncturist. But, you know, I know dancers who dance on the earth for healing.
Yeah.
And you know, their process is a little bit different.
Right.
There's painters who make beautiful paintings on the earth with different color sands or different color flowers or stones. There's an infinite number of ways to do it, and people can find the way that they feel like they can speak that language.
Good, yeah. So it's important to honor the unique methods that we can all conjure up that are meaningful to us.
Yeah, exactly, because that's what is required here. It's not that we all take out the cookbook and follow this particular recipe and everything's going to get better. It's that each of us is called upon to become our best self, whoever
right.
that is.
Right, and bring that to our planet. So I'm very optimistic for us because of this, you know, that we're going to inspire people to reconnect to the land in ways that are meaningful and helpful.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. I'm very optimistic. We have a lot of opportunities for healing.
That's great. You know, this is, it's called Earth Acupuncture, Healing the Living Landscape, and your name is Gail Reichstein. I don't know if I pronounce it right.
Well, I grew up pronouncing it Rickstein. Mostly now I don't use it. I just use Gail Rex. Cause it's
right, but it's on your book.
It's on my book, yep. And I also have a website, GailRex.com.
Okay, now let's spell Rex.
R-E-X, that's my
okay. Right, I know, because people could come up with all kinds of ways to spell Rex.
That's
R-E-X
true.
Is very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So GailRex.com, and it would be great for people to communicate about their what they see as opportunities for us all, and to buy your book. It's Inner Traditions is a publishing company. Bear and Company is another
mm-hmm.
name for them. I'm really happy to. I mean, I think we're launching something. Well, not that we're new at it. I mean, it's been launched before, but your book is so important in the process of rediscovering our connection to the planet and its needs for us to do that.
Yeah, I think we're on the cusp of a new field
right.
of and development.
I had a recent show with an astral traveler who actually got to speak with Gaia under the North Pole, nonetheless. And she said that we need to do this.
Yeah.
So there's an awful lot of agreement out there for us to get this job done. And I'd be happy to hear from people who are interested in that program. I do want to connect with some of these important geomancers out there and have their input and their contribution in terms of what can inspire people to enter into this prayer program.
Yeah,
so we'll talk more.
Yes, let's.
Okay. Gail Rex, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's so wonderful to talk with you.
It's been a joy. Nice to speak with Peter. Take care.
You too. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.